Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 71 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Tanner Boyd.
Hashland will sell its water, which we do not manufacture at full capacity, to rural parts of Boyd and Lawrence County.
Ashland City Commissioner Kevin Gunderson says the city could generate extra revenue by selling water to the Big Sandy Water District.
Camden Park may reopen tomorrow following a weekend fire.
And Senator Mitch McConnell says there's no excuse for a huge backlog of veterans' disability claims.
In sports, the Reds are bound for the West Coast in a 10-game road trip.
But Luke has the business news.
A flash flood watch tonight with showers and thunderstorms likely. Lows around 66. The complete forecast is coming up, but first, this news.
A charter flight carrying 10 people and several horses made an emergency landing today just after takeoff from Bluegrass Airport in Lexington. WKYT and WLEX each reported that the plane landed shortly after 9 o'clock this morning when the pilot could not retract its wheels after takeoff. An airport spokesman says there were no injuries and the incident remains under investigation.
Camden Park near Huntington remains closed today after one of its rides burned down early Sunday morning. The blaze happened during the pre-dawn hours and forced the park to shut down all day Sunday as well. Sean Wellman is the park's ride supervisor. He tells WSAZ that Dodge and cars were destroyed in the fire.
Most of the rides are metal, so that's not a bigger thing. Some of the older rides, like the Dodge and cars, has a wooden roof, and it's been here at least 50 years. And like I say, it's a shame to lose it, and it's a shame that, you know, it burned down. But thankfully, it's the only one that was destroyed in the fire.
Wellman tells the Huntington station there was some minor damage to a restroom and maintenance shop near the ride. He says Camden Park is planning to reopen tomorrow.
An Eastern Kentucky coal company is being sued by the federal government as it seeks to collect more than $300,000 in unpaid fines for health and safety violations. The government says Viper Coal LLC owes unpaid fines for more than 250 citations issued by the Mine Safety and Health Administration between January 2008 and August 2011. The lawsuit was filed Friday in U.S. District Court in Pikeville. It demands payment of the fines, plus more than $122,000 in other fees and interest. Federal records show Viper has underground mines in Floyd and Pike counties.
Two Kentucky legislators have pre-filed a bill for next year's session to give coal-producing counties all of the money the state collects from coal severance taxes. Right now, half of that money goes into the Commonwealth's general fund and half goes back to individual coal counties and multi-county projects. State Representative Leslie Combs says three counties she represents in eastern Kentucky have lost about 3,000 coal mining jobs since November. While other areas of the state have larger tax bases, she says rural areas need more severance tax money to help make ends meet.
So we're sitting here trying to make the point that our rural counties, this is their tax base. This is their revenue source, and they need every dollar of it that they can get back. Do we truly want to damage the general fund? No, but the entire Commonwealth has to understand what we're up against right here.
Kentucky collected about $230 million in severance taxes during the last fiscal year. That's a nearly 23% drop from the year before, largely due to declines in coal production in eastern Kentucky.
Kentucky House Floor Leader Rocky Adkins is touting figures that show the positive impact the state's coal severance tax has had on the Mountain region. The Catlettsburg Democrat told legislative colleagues on Friday that revenue from the tax has provided $750 million to pay for water and sewer lines. He says that's key in the impoverished region where so many residents once piped sewage directly into streams, causing government agencies to warn against swimming in the water. Revenue from the tax on mined coal, Atkins says, has also paid for regional industrial sites ready for manufacturing plants and other industry to move in. He says most of those sites are on land that has been flattened by mining operations.
The Ashland Independent School District is reviewing its spending practices after a state audit found a lack of control and oversight. MSPR's Sam Steyert has the story.
The Ashland Independent reports that the audit showed overspending on meals, lodging, and overpayments to Superintendent Steve Gilmore. The audit found the questionable expenditures resulted mainly from inadequate supervision. Auditor Adam Edelin says the school district was reimbursed for those expenses and has already changed some of its policies and procedures to ensure compliance with state regulations. The state audit was reportedly triggered by an anonymous letter complaining about the school board's financial policies and activities. The review did not mention any wrongdoing by particular individuals. From SPR News, I'm Sam Steyert.
The University of Louisville and University of Kentucky are teaming up to develop the state's first Master of Business Administration program for executives. U of L Business School Dean Charlie Moyer says the joint program will be aimed at established professionals.
It's an MBA degree, but it's aimed at a very different clientele of people, folks who have considerably more work experience. You know, 12 to 15 years on average is what we expect.
Moyer says there are still details to be worked out, like which courses will be included, but he adds the program should be up and running in the fall of 2014. Students will spend equal time in both Louisville and Lexington classrooms, and the universities will split both costs and revenue. Moyer says there is strong support among faculty members at the two schools. He's expecting the new MBA program to enroll up to 45 regional students.
U.S. Senator Mitch McConnell calls it a national disgrace. The Kentucky Republican is talking about the backlog of disability claims handled by the Veterans Administration. McConnell spoke today at the Veterans of Foreign Wars National Convention in Louisville.
At the beginning of 2009, there were 390,000 claims filed by veterans and awaiting action, way, way too many. Today, however, the backlog is almost doubled in number. This is totally unacceptable.
McConnell told veterans President Obama should get personally involved in efforts to expedite the processing of claims.
An aide to U.S. Senator Rand Paul, who spent years working as a radio shock jock, has resigned because of some of his past comments. One of the remarks made by Jack Hunter was that President Abraham Lincoln's assassin, John Wilkes Booth, had his heart in the right place. Hunter, known as the Southern Avenger, while working in radio, was Paul's director of social media and helped him write the 2011 book, The Tea Party Goes to Washington. Paul told reporters in Louisville today that Hunter's departure was a mutual decision. The senator said some of Hunter's past comments had become a distraction and that it just wasn't going to work.
Kentucky Congressman Hal Rogers is applauding the House Appropriations Subcommittee for its approval of a State Department foreign operations budget for next year that is 19% below 2013 funding levels. The Somerset Republican chairs the full Appropriations Committee. He insists the $34.1 billion measure makes necessary cuts but does not shortchange security at America's embassies overseas.
The state foreign operations bill reduces funding by billions of dollars from current levels while meeting the most critical security priorities. The bill recognizes the risks our diplomats face, fully funds the embassy security request at $4.8 billion. Every penny the president asked for is in this bill.
Rogers also says the bill also provides $6.5 billion for counterterrorism efforts and aid to Colombia and Mexico to fight drug trafficking.
Ashland City Commissioners next month are expected to put their stamp of approval on a contract to sell water to the Big Sandy Water District. Vice Mayor Kevin Gunderson says the deal calls for Ashland to supply water to Big Sandy customers in Boyd and Lawrence counties. He says it's a good way for Ashland to produce additional income.
Well, yes, it'll generate about $300,000 or $400,000 for the city and will not require any additional jobs.
Ashland commissioners will probably vote on the agreement August 8th.
Ashland City commissioners will apparently turn to a Florida-based consulting firm to help them find a new city manager. Commissioners are eyeing a contract with Colin Basinger and Associates to aid in the search for Steve Corbett's replacement. Mayor Chuck Charles says the executive personnel specialist is likely to get the job when commissioners meet next month.
I hate to see Mr. Corbett leave, but I guess that's going to be a sure thing now, so we've got to move forward and make sure that when we move forward, we go in the right direction.
Charles says Corbett will probably serve as Ashland's manager through the rest of this year. The 70-year-old administrator is retiring after 6 years at the helm.
Despite the volume of business being done by Morehead's new Cracker Barrel, no other major restaurant chains have announced plans to open an eatery in the area anytime soon. Mayor David Perkins believes several things are holding them back. He says they want a return on their investment too quickly, and there's still uncertainty about the economy. He says for those willing to crunch numbers in greater detail, they'll find the Morehead market is a good place to be.
I know that for a fact that Cracker Barrel did their homework, and they were determined that it would be a viable option for them before they ever came to us. And any other business should do their homework. You can't just look at our paper demographics because they're woefully lacking, but the realities here are much different than what's on paper.
Cracker Barrel opened its Morehead store in February 2012, and it is believed to be among the chain's top performers.
Farmers in Madison County remain in the fields, but they no longer focus on tobacco. Historically, Madison County was a significant burley tobacco producer, but County Extension agent Brandon Sears says annual tobacco production has gone from about 12 million pounds a year in the late 1990s to about 1 million pounds today. Sears says cattle are now the fuel for Madison's agricultural economy.
The latest figures that are out for Madison County are somewhere in the neighborhood of around $35 million annual sales in beef cattle. That would be kind of a farm gate receipt number. And then we're somewhere in the $6 to $7 million per year range on crops.
Sears says the latest figures out for Madison County show about $35 million of annual sales from beef cattle.
And finally, this afternoon, the Highlands Museum and Discovery Center in Ashland has set up a special exhibition in honor of the Boy Scouts. The Scouts National Jamboree is taking place in nearby Beckley, West Virginia, and the Highlands is inviting people to see a collection of scouting memorabilia at its Winchester Avenue facility. Carol Allen is director of the Discovery Center.
We also have quite a collection of Norman Rockwell memorabilia. He was hired by the Boy Scouts. He's done several covers for the magazine of Boy Scouts. There is a knife that has his influence on it. The Boy Scouts was also the cover of the Post magazine that he did.
Allen is hoping some of the Scouts and their supporters make the trip down I-64 to view the exhibition. The National Jamboree concludes on Wednesday.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for the Morehead State Public Radio listening area, including Bath, Robertson, and Montgomery counties, there's a flash flood watch in effect until 8 p.m. this evening. Your weather tonight, mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms, patchy fog developing towards dawn, lows of around 68 degrees, chance of rain is 40%. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms with highs near 88 degrees, chance of rain is 50%. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy again with scattered showers and thunderstorms, lows around 65 degrees, chance of rain 50%. Wednesday, mostly cloudy, 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs in the upper 70s. Wednesday night, partly cloudy, lows in the upper 50s. Thursday, partly cloudy with highs in the lower 80s. Thursday night, mostly clear with lows in the lower 60s. Friday and Friday night, partly cloudy with highs in the mid-80s and lows in the mid-60s. Currently in Ashland, it's 72 degrees, Flemingsburg 72 degrees, Winchester 75 degrees, Lexington 76 degrees, Inez 76 degrees, and in Morehead, it is currently 71 degrees.
It is 4:45. You are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. It is good to have you with us on this soggy Monday afternoon. On our feature segment this afternoon, one Eastern Kentucky television station can now add an Emmy to its list of credentials. Tanner Boyd has the story.
WYMT-TV in Hazard was recognized at the 49th Annual Ohio Valley Regional Emmy Awards in Cincinnati on Saturday. The station won for its broadcast during the tornado outbreak on March 2, 2012, and news director Steve Hensley says there were a lot of feelings going around after the win.
Well, it was a little surreal. Of course, we're very excited. Sort of mixed emotions because the newscast that won was the hour-long special newscast we did the day after the March 2nd tornado outbreak. Many people put in a lot of long hours, and it was emotionally draining, but it feels great to finally win an Emmy for the station.
Hensley adds when the storm struck the area, it was a very hectic time for his station, and he thinks the true team effort to provide coverage to the area is what helped earn them the award.
Of course, the tornadoes hit several different areas, and I think we covered each area well, and I think the judges recognized that being a small market television station, they probably recognized all the hard work that went into to what we did.
Hensley says, looking back, there were many mixed emotions during the ordeal, but the award is very much appreciated.
I think it was well-deserved. A lot of people worked really hard during that time covering that tornado outbreak, probably the worst natural disaster in WYMT's history. Our station goes back to 1985. So we're very pleased that we were recognized for the work that we did.
Hensley adds he dedicated the award to those who lost their lives in the tornadoes and thanks everyone on behalf of his station for their support. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Tanner Boyd.
And we should add the producer of that award-winning newscast was Morehead State University graduate Brandon Robinson, who also worked right here at WMKY. It is 4:47. You are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. A check of sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the MSU Innovation and Commercialization Center. The ICC provides assistance for technology and innovation-based businesses in East Kentucky, with offices at Morehead State University and a satellite office at Ashland Community and Technical College. The ICC also provides help to startup businesses by assisting with venture and angel capital, patents, market assessment, fundraising, and more. Additional information at 606-783-9536 and online at kyinnovation.com.
The Reds head out to the Wild West. Good evening, reporting for Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Chase Scott. After coming off the All-Star break with two wins and three tries against Pittsburgh at Great American Ballpark, the Cincinnati Reds now head west. They'll begin a series with the Giants in San Francisco tonight at 10:15. Shortstop Zach Cozart says the Reds came out of the break determined to get off to a strong start so they can build some momentum going into the critical months of August and September.
Starting off the second half strong was, you know, a huge goal of ours, and we're trying to, you know, get on the right path, you know, playing baseball right.
The 55-43 Reds start the day five games behind first place St. Louis in the NL Central. 8-7 Bronson Arroyo will pitch for Cincy tonight. The Giants are slated to go with 5-9 Tim Lincecum, who recently tossed a no-hitter. Taking a look into other games around Major League Baseball tonight in the National League, the Mets will welcome in the Braves. The Nationals will host the Pirates. The Cubs will be on the road to Arizona with a matchup with the D-backs. And the Marlins head out west to meet the Rockies. To the American League, the Rangers host the Yankees. The red-hot Tampa Bay Rays head to Boston to square off with the Red Sox, and the Tigers will be on the road to Chicago to play the White Sox. The Lexington Legends are getting red-hot and at the right time of the season. The Legends will look to extend their seven-game win streak tonight on the road as they face off with the Greenville Drive. The Legends are 19-9 on the second-half skid, while the Drive is just 15-13. The Legends will toss Christian Benford tonight, who is 5-4 on the year, while the Drive has yet to decide on their starter. First pitch is scheduled for 7:05. It was a final round for the ages yesterday at the British Open at Murrayfield in Scotland. It had all the ups and downs a viewer could ask for between the struggle of Tiger Woods, the falling behind of Lee Westwood, who had the lead heading into the final round, and the comeback victory by Phil Mickelson. Mickelson came back from five shots down in the final round to take the Open Championship, which was sparked by his birdie on the 14th. The lefty says it was a moment he'll remember for a long time.
It was one of the best rounds of golf I've ever played, and this is a win that I never knew in my career if I'd be equipped, if I would have the shots, if I would have the opportunity to win a tournament. to do it, to play some of the best golf, probably the best round of my career, and break through and capture this claret jug is some of the most fulfilling, probably the most fulfilling moment of my career.
As for Tiger Woods, his famous Sunday red didn't come through as he finished tied for six at two over after shooting a 3-over 74 in his final round. One other score to take note, as former Morehead State golfer Josh Teeter finished 82nd as he ended up at 17 over par. Morehead State's Brian Hutchinson has been named the president of the Football Championship Subdivision Athletics Directors Association. Hutchinson will hold the job over the next year as he served the organization's first vice president during the 2013-2014 academic year.
I'm excited about it. There's a lot of positive things that have happened in our subdivision over the last couple of years, namely the expansion of the playoffs to 24, which certainly benefits our conference, but those are the kinds of things we can advocate for and keep our membership informed of through the association. So to have the opportunity to do that over the next 12 months or so is an exciting thing for me.
Hutchinson also serves on the NCAA Division I Football Championship Committee and NCAA Football Issues Committee. Among its duties, the FCS committee determines the field and bracket for the division's playoffs. Rowan football coach Kyle Singleton says his team is trying to keep things simple on defense this year. Singleton admits last year's aggressive blitzing 3-4 scheme may have been too complicated, and that led to too many big plays and points for the Vikings' opponents. He hopes a move to a more basic playbook, which includes a four-man front, will turn things around for his beleaguered unit.
Kind of putting some pressure on our big men up front to, you know, really control the run game and that kind of deal to make it also a little easier on the back end, and hopefully we can get a little more pressure having the extra defensive lineman in the game to be able to, you know, disrupt the quarterback and give us a chance to make some plays on the balls in the secondary.
While Singleton likes the depth the Vikings have along the line and at linebacker, he still wants to find more players to help in the secondary. After an 0-10 2012 campaign, West Carter football coach Kevin Brown is keeping the goals for his Comets simple this season. Brown says they'll start with winning a game and being in every contest they play.
I thought last year we were competitive in some games, but a few of them we were not, and we want to compete each week. You know, offensively, we want to spread the football around and take advantage of what we have, and defensively, we have to do a better job. You know, you can't win football games if you give up 35 points a game.
Like last year, West Carter will have a young squad again. It will feature just seven seniors. The Comets opened 2013 at Bath County on August 30th. They fell to the Wildcats last year 34-14. The testing for HGH might start this season in the NFL. AP correspondent Jack Briggs has more details.
When the NFL and the Players Association came to terms, our new contract 2 years ago was determined that the league could start testing players for HGH, human growth hormone, once the union approved the process. So far, nothing has happened, but that may be changing. The league and union are talking again about starting to test for HGH as early as the upcoming season. The NFL Players Association says it favors testing, but has reservations about the appeals process. Supplemental HGH is a banned substance that is hard to detect and used by athletes for what they believe are variety of benefits. This is Jack Briggs.
Finally, Rowan County girls soccer coach Randy Wallace says his program won't be short on players this season. Wallace says 41 girls have come out for the team. While happy with that number, his group still needs to develop some on-the-field leaders, with the Lady Vikings losing 8 seniors from their 2012 squad to graduation. However, the coach says some candidates for the job are starting to surface.
But we've had some people step up. Gary Lewis, normally a quieter individual, has stepped up and did a nice job. We've got Audrey Holbrook and Allie Hackney in a junior class. And Hannah Bandura and a couple of the other sophomores have stepped up, been vocal and been very good at leading drills and helping out wherever they're at.
The Lady Vikings soccer team is getting to play next weekend in the Bluegrass State Games in Lexington. That's a wrap for sports. I'm reporting for Morehead State Public Radio. I'm Chase Scott.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Season tickets for Morehead State football, soccer, and volleyball are now on sale, as well as single game tickets for football. Single event tickets for soccer and volleyball will be available on game days. More information on single game or season tickets is available from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. Investors were taking a wait-and-see approach as the corporate earnings season gets underway in earnest this week. As all three major averages managed to creep forward today, although not with very large gains, and of course all three indices are up roughly 19% so far this year, and nearly 160 companies in the S&P 500 are slated to report quarterly results this week, and among them Dow components such as AT&T, Boeing, and 3M. And at the 4 o'clock close today, a very modest gain of 1.81 for the Dow Industrials to finish at 15,545.55. The S&P 500 managed another record as it gained 3.44 to finish at 1695.53, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 12.77 to finish at 3600.39. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 17 to 12 positive. Gold was up 3% today, while oil was down 1.5%. There was a broad boost today from earnings overall. Even though it's still early, many analysts say second quarter earnings have certainly come in better than many had expected. The 104 companies that have reported results through Friday, 66% have beat analyst expectations, according to Standard & Poor's. McDonald's said today that global sales and earnings rose in the second quarter, but profits fell short of analysts' expectations. The fast food chain also warned that sales will be challenged in the second half of the year, and McDonald's was the biggest drag on the Dow today. Kimberly-Clark, which produces such products as Kleenex and Huggies, reported an increase in quarterly profit, but sales were flat. And Six Flags shares fell after the amusement park operator said earnings slumped 26% in the second quarter. And the company is also struggling with the fallout from a fatal roller coaster accident over the weekend. Tech results were in focus again. This week, a number of big technology companies are slated to report, including Apple, Facebook, and Amazon. And following disappointing results from Google and Microsoft, investors are eager to see how other tech companies have fared in the second quarter. As mentioned, gold did make a spike today. While housing, there was a negative report on the housing market, as the National Association of Realtors said new home sales fell 1.2% in June. Asian markets closed the day in mixed territory, with Japan's Nikkei advancing by 0.5% after voters rewarded the architects of Abenomics with a sweeping electoral victory for the ruling party in Japan. And in Europe, the major indices ended narrowly mixed. Turning now to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated up 41 cents at 88.08, CSX up 7 cents at 25.32, AEP down 5 cents at 47.09, AK Steel up 8 cents at 3.43, Marathon Petroleum up 24 cents at 69.84, and Kroger was up 24 cents to finish at 39.05. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Kentucky Folk Art Center, presenting an exhibition of original artwork by David Lucas on display through October 11th. The exhibition features more than 80 paintings and drawings by the Letcher County artist. Landscapes, portraits, and scenes of daily life in eastern Kentucky are on display. Located on First Street in Moorhead and open Mondays through Saturdays from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., the Kentucky Folk Art Center is a cultural, educational, and economic development service of Moorhead State University.
Taking another look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, there's a flash flood watch in effect until 8 this evening. Tonight, mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms, with patchy fog developing towards dawn. Lows of around 68, chance of rain is 40%. And tomorrow, mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms again, with highs near 88 degrees, chance of rain is 50%. Currently in Ashland, it is 72 degrees, Bloomingsburg 72 degrees, Winchester 75, Lexington 76, Inez 76, and in Moorhead, it is 71 degrees.
And that does it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Tanner Boyd, Chase Scott, Sam Steyert, Caleb Noe, and Asa Hosada. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY, Moorhead, and translator W202BHINS. Our show is archived daily on the web at msuradio.com. For Tanner Boyd, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.